This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's coming up to 6:43 in the evening with Lynn, Kelvin and Ayman. And for our next story, we're taking a look at a birthday or an anniversary. We're talking about the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China, which was marked by the biggest military and civilian parades ever.
And it was elaborate, to say the least. It involved 15,000 troops, 160 aircraft and 580 weapon systems, including the DF-41, which is the world's longest range military missile with a range of over 15,000 kilometers. President Xi Jinping spoke of his vision of a Chinese dream of national rejuvenation and said that China will uphold the one country, two systems arrangements with Hong Kong.
And speaking of Hong Kong, though, yesterday was also one of Hong Kong's most violent and chaotic days. That's according to the city's police chief, Stephen Loh. The BBC reports that over hundreds were arrested and hospitalized. And separately, an 18-year-old protester was shot by the police.
And of course, we know that these protests have been going on for 4 months now. It began as a peaceful response, and now it's expanded into demands for greater democracy. It's also expanded into violence and outbursts of, different levels of unrest in Hong Kong. So, in other words, the 70th anniversary was marked in very different ways yesterday. On the one hand, giant military parade. On the other hand, one of Hong Kong's most chaotic days. So we kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that. And we're crossing over to Dr. Oh Ee Sun, senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, who also got to attend Beijing's national parade yesterday. Ee Sun, thank you so much for joining us.
Wow, nice to talk to all of you. Yeah.
So first things first, like we said, we've only read it on the news. We've only seen the photos, but you were there. Could you describe to us what the parade was like yesterday?
Well, the parade started with President Xi Jinping inspecting those military troops as well as the equipment. It was, of course, his limousine as well as two others. They drove down the Tiananmen Square and then to the Grand Street called Chang'an Street. And after that, those military personnel, they march in very tight and regimented formation. And after that, you have huge arrays of various tanks and missiles and even drones and underwater drones and so on. So, and after that, you have all those, what I would call floats, right? I mean, those very colorful, decorated, huge moving vehicles whereby they displayed sort of icons of developments, some of the achievements China attained over the last 70 years or so. So it lasted well over 2 hours, I think. It was about 2.5 hours, so it's a huge display of China's achievements. Yeah,
and I would be curious to know. I mean, you mentioned so many different things there. I think if I were you, I'd just be overwhelmed. I mean, were you able to take it all in? Could you see everything that was actually happening?
Well, I was very lucky because I'm a so-called official invitee. So I was seated at the so-called Western platform besides the Tiananmen. You know, there's this huge, the so-called gate of Tiananmen. I was seated at the Western side of it. And yeah, so we were able to take in every single bit of this phantasmagoric display.
Who did you notice attending the ceremony? And was there anything that was different from past years?
Well, they invited all the living former standing members of the Politburo, including the two former supreme or highest leaders, namely Jiang Zemin as well as Hu Jintao. So, and then at some point in the parade, they display huge portraits of Mao Zedong on a float, and then followed by Deng Xiaoping, and then followed by those two gentlemen, Hu and Jiang, and then finally also President Xi Jinping's huge portrait. So, it's sort of reminiscent of what they do in the past, but of a much grander scale. And, of course, the weaponry was much more sophisticated. Yeah.
So we also read about a security lockdown in Beijing that started from days prior to the national parade. Even pigeons were not allowed to fly. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Well, number one, pigeon did fly at the very end of this huge parade. They released, I think, must be tens of thousands of pigeons and then tens of thousands of balloons. I also attended the 2015 military parade commemorating the victory over fascism, the Second World War victory, in essence. That was even worse. I mean, in terms of lockdown, as you said, I still remember even all the hotel windows had to be sealed. If you sort of opened one of those hotel windows, your rooms had to be searched again in order to ensure security. But this time it was nothing like that. Even the hotel that we stay in, we are arranged to stay in the various hotels, they don't have appreciably heightened security as compared to the 2015 parade. So I would imagine that this year, of course, the night before the parade, they did have a so-called curfew for, I think, lasting from the previous evening to to today. But that simply means you cannot go on Tiananmen Square, essentially. Yeah.
And you mentioned that it opened with President Xi Jinping. What were some of the key points of his speech, and what message was Beijing sending out in general with a parade of this scale?
I think there are at least two main points in President Xi Jinping's speech. Number one being the importance of unity and solidarity for progress. I think he's sort of summing up over the last 70 years, China was able to achieve its tremendous progress only because, from their standpoint of view, the Communist Party leading, all the people in the country to work together for the greater good and so on. But then he also emphasizes what they call peaceful development. And that is, I think, meant more for a foreign audience, that China's rise is a peaceful one and it wants to bring about development, for example, under this Belt and Road initiative to its neighboring countries. Yeah.
And was there any acknowledgement of the protests and violence in Hong Kong?
Well, I think in his speech he mentioned the continuation of one country, two system policy when it comes to Hong Kong and Macau. And I think that's the extent. It's actually a reiteration of the longstanding policy. But no, there was no specific references to the disturbances in Hong Kong. Oh, yeah, after the military parade, there's a civil society parade and so on, which is a mixture of these floats as well as groups of people in very colorful clothes. And then I remember some of them bore the banners of Hong Kong will be better tomorrow or something like that. So that, I think, is the only hint at referring to the disturbances in Hong Kong. Yeah.
How do you see the significance of Beijing's 70th celebration for both Hong Kong and Taiwan?
Well, I think Beijing is very resolute in trying to, as far as Taiwan is concerned, to reunify with Taiwan by peaceful means if possible, but by military means if necessary as well. So, but that, again, this is a long-standing policy. They are simply reiterating it. As to Hong Kong, I think the reference is very subtle. I think it's almost too subtle to detect whether there's any policy change with respect to Hong Kong. Yeah.
Yisan, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, thank you very much.
That was Dr. Oh Yisan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs and also attendee at Beijing's National Parade yesterday. And he was just kind of giving us the overall experience of it and gleaning what meaning could be gleaned from the whole experience, really. If you have any thoughts, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.